Hearing is conditional use number 2145, 105 Seagull Drive, LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily units, two duplexes, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.169 acre, more or less. The property is lying on the north side of Seagull Drive, approximately 1,000 feet west of Coastal Highway Route 1. The 911 address is 38737 Seagull Drive, Dewey Beach. The tax parcel is District 334, MAP 23.06, Parcel 10. Staff would note, it's only for two units. It's one duplex for two units. We've had some confusion from a number of questions thinking it was four units. It is only two units that is being requested. So for the record, we would also submit the staff analysis, a site plan, the results of the DLDOT service level evaluation, an exhibit booklet, and comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We also have four letters in opposition. They note concern about the use of as duplexes and concerns about traffic and the safety and welfare of their properties and the property values and the noise that this could bring to their to the area. Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Davidson.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates located in Milton, Delaware. I'm here tonight representing the application for 105 Seagull Drive, LLC. My clients who could not be here this evening, who are out of town, is Mr. Dale Lomas and Mr. Lucian Cristaldi. The owners of the property here also own land within this, along this stretch of road, which is Seagull Drive. This piece of property is just located south of Dewey Beach. The Dewey Beach municipal line runs right along this area here. There are a set of condominiums right on the north side of this property. It's called Anchors Way Condos, which are located right here. Mr. Cristaldi owns and has a house on parcel 9, and Mr. and Mrs. Lomas own parcel number 12, which they have a house on that property as well. This is an application for a conditional use in an MR medium density residential district. The property is approximately 0.17 acres in size, 7,369 square feet. The conditional use is for a multifamily dwelling. And as Ms. Cormell stated, it is for one single family attached dwelling, two units. That's all we're asking for. That's all that will fit on this piece of property under the code, so that's all we're asking for. The property was once, and under tab one, I've provided some deeds, some past, some previous deeds, both dated 1959 and 1966, in those deeds, that this piece of property was once two parcels. And both parcels together totaling the square footage of 7,350 square feet. So asking for the conditional use to one duplex, we feel that the parcels that were described for each lot, one was approximately 35 feet wide and the other one was 70 feet wide. We feel like this conditional use for the multifamily for the two units is a far superior use for the property, being able to provide for a better style unit rather than trying to fit something on a 35, because under the code we can take this parcel back to the two previous units based on those deeds, and we feel like that this is a better style of house that we could probably that we could get on this piece of this parcel of land. Adjacent on the west side of this property is parcel 11, currently, which is on the Seagull Drive as well. It currently has two parcels or two houses on that piece of land. So we are in an area where multifamily uses are prevalent. Again, just south of Dewey Beach, and we are below the. On the south side of a set of condos. There are also condo buildings located a little bit further west of our property, but then there's also two parcels of, there's two houses on one parcel within this small community. This is a community that is part of the Indian Beach community. It's a subdivision, I believe, that was created back in 1944, so this is part of that community. The 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the future land use element, we are in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, which is a developing area. It's also a growth area, and the county does seek its most concentrated forms of new development to growth areas, including the higher density residential development. Again, we're asking for one single family attached, two units on this piece of, on this parcel. I have provided site plan.
That's in here, yeah.
The only one I could find that we had.
Here. Under tab one, there is a site plan that I supplied. Just to kind of review it a little bit on what we're doing here. Again, this property is approximately 7,369 square feet. Under the code for multifamily dwellings, the minimum size area for each unit is 3,660 square feet. Under this, on the site plan, I indicate what each parcel or each unit will have in size, and meeting the minimum requirement of approximately 3,685 square feet. So we do exceed what the minimum is to be able to have two units on this piece of property. I do show on the site plan as well a couple of parking spaces for each lot, which meets the minimum code under 115-162B1. There are two parking spaces up to three bedrooms. Anything more than that, then you have to add half a space per bedroom up to a maximum of three parking spaces. The style unit that they're looking to do is going to have two car garages on each of the unit, approximately to fit within the setbacks. Each floor will approximately be about 1,300 square feet. If they went three stories, it's about 4,000 square feet for the building. If they went four stories, if they did a flat roof type unit, approximately 5,500 square feet for each unit.
Was this two parcels at one time?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
It was two parcels. The property is in character with the nature of the area, that it provides for the retention of the residential character of the neighborhood, and again, the neighborhood being both single-family and multifamily development. Public investment in infrastructure will be avoided. Sussex County serves both water and sewer to the property. The property is located approximately 105 feet from Coastal Highway, Route 1. LDOT did not recommend a traffic impact study to be done for these two units. There will be no use or impact any wetlands. There are no wetlands on the property. We are in a flood zone, Zone AE, which has a base flood elevation 6. These units will have to be required to mitigate the homes to be able to meet the minimum base flood elevation of 6. There's no historical or natural features on this site. I did submit a few conditions, one of the conditions being that the maximum number of dwelling units will not exceed 2, and then that the proposed single family attached will be in kind or exceed the architectural style and size of the surrounding properties in the neighborhood, in as much as the allowable buildable area within the lots will allow. Again, this is a piece of property that was once two lots and can be put back into those two lots, but we feel like the single family attached unit is will provide for a better look and be in kind with what the neighborhood is down in this area of Sussex County, which is along the beach resorts, a more resort style type of living. So we feel like the single family attached will be in kind with that. And with that, the proposed conditional use meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance, being located in an appropriate location, meeting the purpose of this district and the comprehensive plan, which is essential and desirable for the general convenience, orderly growth, prosperity, and welfare of the county. And with that, with the booklet that I've submitted and my testimony, I'll be glad to take any questions, and that's all I have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if there's anyone on the commission that has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Hudson.
I have no questions, thanks.
Okay, Ms. Stevenson?
So you said you're planning to have a two-car garage and then two extra parking spaces for each unit?
That's what I've shown on the plan, because we don't have, they've been going back and forth on what style of house that they want to put on this piece of property. I just, for the purpose of this hearing and conditional use site plan, I show two parking spaces. Whether it's, if they do have, they do have the room to put the additional parking spaces along with two-car garage for each unit. So there can be more parking there, and that way parking won't happen on the street, which is
which
very,
would be impossible.
That's correct, because it's only 12 feet wide.
Yeah, I was down there today when it was pouring. It was great. Okay. That's it. I guess I just have, this is this land use, not what you're putting there. So, okay, that's all I have for now.
Okay. Mr. Hopkins?
No questions.
Ms. Wingett?
Mine was concerning the parking, so thank you.
Okay. Staff, anybody?
No, thank you. If I could apologize to Mr. Davidson, I believe you did send a couple of emails with presentations, but I may not have loaded it onto the flash drive, so I apologize.
No problem.
Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Council?
None, thanks.
All right, sir. Well, Mr. Davidson, if you'd take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2145 105 Seagull Drive, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition of conditional use number 2145? Okay, we have a gentleman striding to the podium here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Richard Abbott. I'm an attorney in Delaware, and I'm representing Patty and Jay Richards, who are neighbors across the street.
Now, Mr. Abbott, you're not a frequent flyer here at Planning and Zoning. You happen to bring your bar number with you this evening?
2712.
Okay.
He's been here before, so I know.
Oh,
Mr.
really?
Abbott. Yeah, no, it's been a little while.
I've locked horns with Mr. Robertson here and there over the years.
Well, I've been verified just to be safe, but in the meantime, you may continue.
Thank you. And Mrs. Richards is seated at the back of the room here. Okay. She's with us tonight, and I looked at the application, and I have some points. I know sometimes that there's a prohibition against submitting something in writing, but I brought a little summary that I'd like to hand out if I'm
Yeah, that's fine, because that's actually for the applicant anyway. It doesn't apply to...
I just wanted to make sure.
Speaking in,
I've been on both
you
sides.
Can, yeah, you can. Indeed.
So I'll just hand a number of these.
Okay.
And you can,
are they all the same?
That should be enough.
Okay.
They're all the same, yes. Okay. If you need more, I have a few more.
No, let's see what we got.
So, looking at the property, and it's nice it's up there, Seagull Drive, as you'll see on the actual plan, is only 12 feet wide. It's some court order established it. And it's not actually paved, it's seashells. They're crushed seashells on seagull. Say that one 10 times fast. And then if I had to guesstimate, I'd say it's about 10, maybe 10 feet of seashells. So it's not actually even covered over the full 12 foot area. You kind of have to go over on the dirt if you cross with another vehicle coming in there. And it's a dead-end street, as you can see. And according to my clients, through both anecdotal evidence and their photographs and their relatively long-term ownership there, the Rehoboth Bay, in storm events and high tides, tends to come right on in and cover up the end there of Seagull. So there is... not surprisingly, right next to the bay, drainage issues that arise every now and again. And I guess my client's primary concern is they view this as a foothold. This is getting the nose under the tent. And if you're allowing the multifamily use here, now you're setting a precedent. You're going to move down south. There's one more street, Bayberry, which is immediately south of this. And then after that, it's all protected lands. It's all part of the state park lands. Across the street, as was mentioned, is a different community, Indian Beach. I don't think this is technically part of Indian Beach. Indian Beach is a little bit on its own on the east side, but it is a almost exclusively single-family detached community, a lot of relatively large houses that have been built in the last 20 or 30 years over there. I think Seagull and Bayberry are a little bit older. There's a few new houses that have been built over time in there. But again, the predominant character is single-family detached. So you approve multifamily here, then that's going to allow for a creeping multifamily use set of applications. From what I understand, and I think it was explained, the owners of the lot that's in question that's before the commission are on each side of it, or one's at the end of the street, one's at the front of the street. So, you know, this is going to kind of set the tone. They own other parcels, and the concern, again, is you're going to end up with duplex after duplex after duplex. That's about it, because there's not that many lots on this street. But that's going to modify it. That's going to really, it's all relative, I understand. It's not a lot of units, but it's going to really cramp things in there, particularly because if you go on the street, you'll see it's tight. And so drainage, traffic and circulation, surrounding development. I honestly, it is difficult to read the comp plan future land use map in this area because it's so tiny. It's just this small area in between the town of Dewey Beach boundary and the state parkland. I didn't see any crosshatching on it. So crosshatching is the legend for environmentally sensitive growth area. I didn't see that. I do know across the street in the Indian Beach community, it's low density. So I think this is what I would call this section, Bayberry and Seagull, is somewhat of an enclave. It's a transition zone, as I've put forward in this. And as you can see, you're going from really high density in Dewey to some condo buildings that are lower and then single family detached. And so again, you're kind of changing the transitional zone if you go to multifamily. And again, I put on here, the way I read it, it was low density. If it's environmentally sensitive growth area, then I'll stand corrected. But it's difficult to read it. So those are really the concerns, the objectives. You know, again, I'm not sure, but I took a quick look, and it appears that in MR zone, you have to have a 75-foot wide lot. So I'm not sure you could actually subdivide 105 into two. I suppose maybe you could get a variance. My understanding from my clients is that the two lots, both this one and the one number 9 that's closest to the highway, were actually three lots at one time. That's what I'm told. That would make sense with the development pattern across the street where you see 70, 70, 65. You do the math, it's about the same. It would make more sense that was three lots. So, however, if it is zoned for two lots, then from my client's perspective, they would prefer to see that single family detached development pattern that is in effect and has been in effect since these areas were built up in probably the 50s or 60s maintained. So for those reasons, we would respectfully request that you recommend against the conditional use. Thank you.
Mr. Abbott.
Yes.
I don't know if you could answer this. Maybe your client could. I'm just curious as to what the situation is with the houses around there. Are they year-round residents? Are they summer homes? Are they, you know,
my clients live in Wilmington, and this is a summer home. Perhaps Ms. Richards could come up if you really are interested in knowing. She would probably know better.
I'm interested in knowing what the character is of the neighborhood.
Yeah, so. That'd be fine. Then I'll ask her if she could come up in a minute. as soon as any other commissioners have their questions answered. I promise, I'll give you straight answers.
Okay, all right.
Anyone else have any other questions for Mr. Abbott?
I don't.
All right, then I'll cede the podium to Ms. Richards.
Okay, very good. Hi, how are you?
Would you please
give us your name? Yeah.
Patty Richards, Patricia Richards.
Thank you.
So I live directly across the street.
Okay.
To the right, looking at the map, he's a full-time resident, and he's the partial owner of the lot. And then at the end of the street, she is a full-time owner. And then instead of it being a two-unit, she has it connected and has a small rental that's at the end of the lot that's on the other side of her garages that she rents during the summer, but she lives there a full year. And then on this side, these are our summer homes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am, come on up. Give us your name, please, you may have the floor.
My name is Carol Murty Smith, 207 Heronwood Lane in Milton. I'm speaking on behalf of the Murty's family and my 93-year-old mother, who is too upset about this whole thing to attend this evening. We own property number 11, and my parents purchased the property in Indian Beach in 1949. And our family always spent summers here until my mother became a year-round resident in 1975. A little bit of the history. My parents purchased the property, we owned from the bay to the coastal highway. And after we built our bayfront home, we sold off three lots directly behind that. People that bought the home directly behind, or the lot directly behind us, also bought the middle lot. So, and then he sold half of that lot to the people that owned the lot on the corner. So the lot, lot number 10 and lot number 9 there was a lot in between the two that subdivided. So it really was originally three lots, like on the other side of the street. We are against the conditional use request. Indian Beach has been a single family residential neighborhood since the 1940s. John Lewis Smith bought the property in 1946 and then proceeded to sell off parcels. Properties within Indian Beach are very desirable and command higher values than those located in Dewey Beach, particularly since Indian Beach consists of single family homes on privately owned streets, and we know of no other duplexes in all of Indian Beach. We see no reason to change the character of a neighborhood that has existed for the last 70 years. I think a duplex is totally out of character, and it sets a dangerous precedent that it's just going to open the floodgates for even more higher concentration of units, such as condo buildings. And especially since the two owners of this lot are already owners on the street. And I can just see that happening. Seagull Drive is a private stone clamshell narrow road, and it's co-owned and maintained by my mother and the other property owner on the bay. Duplex would only increase traffic on the road and create even more wear and tear on the road, creating a greater financial burden on the owners of the road. Additionally, there is a fire hydrant located on the one corner of the property, which needs to be kept accessible at all times and not impeded in any way by parked vehicles. And knowing the way people park in the summertime, they just park wherever they please. So just because there's two parking spaces there, it doesn't mean that they're not going to park on the fire hydrant because it's been done before. The area is also prone to flooding during extreme high tide events and storms such as summer rain events, winter nor'easters, and tropical storms and hurricanes. We've been battling flooding for years, and a duplex would only create more runoff on the adjoining properties and the road. And I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Does anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Mr. Davidson, I have one more question. Just if you would clarify for me one more time, and I'm sure you already said this. What is the character of the road? Is it a private subdivision street?
Or yes.
Okay.
It's private.
It's a private street. Is there any maintenance agreement in place as to who maintains the road?
Not that I know of, no. There are no covenants and restrictions for the subdivision.
So we have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people using the street?
That's correct, yes.
And we don't really know how it's maintained other than what the testimony of the lady
that's
that
correct,
preceded
yes.
you, that she and one other property owner were maintaining it. Hmm. Okay. All right, thanks. That's all. Anyone else have any other questions? All right, then. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.